And I begin this morning with a question. Are you a fan or a follower? A fan could be described as an enthusiastic admirer of someone or something. And the question that I want you to think about, not only this morning, but indeed in these coming days, is this. Are you a fan or a follower of Jesus Christ? Kyle Eidelman is a Christian leader in the United States of America. If you want to find out more, I think if you Google notafan.org, you'll get something to think about. And he said this. He said, the biggest threat to the church today is fans who call themselves Christians but are not actually interested in following Jesus Christ. That's quite a challenge. Are you a fan or a follower? Today we think a little bit about Christian growth. Because we come to this passage in 1 Peter in our studies through this letter, where it very definitely speaks about what it means to grow as a Christian believer. And there's something here for us as individuals, and there's also something here for us as a church. And I hope that as we think a little bit about this, and hopefully we will think, that we will think at these two levels. What's this passage saying to us as individuals? What's it saying to you as an individual professing Christian, if that's what you are? And what's it saying to us as a church of Christ professing to follow Jesus? So, just a number of questions for us this morning as we think about this. And here's the first question that this passage challenges us to think about in the whole subject of growth and discipleship, call it what you want. And here's the first thing. It's this, very simple. Is there life? Is there life? Is there life in your heart? Is there life in our hearts as a Christian community? The passage says, verse 22, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. If there is to be growth with the potatoes that you're planting, with the flowers that you've planted in your garden this spring, well, there's going to need to be life. If there's going to be growth spiritually in your life and in my life, then there needs to be spiritual life. Now, we don't have to dwell on this. We've rehearsed it many times. According to the scriptures, in and of ourselves, there is no life. According to the scriptures, it's a very pointed thing that they say to us. They teach us that we are actually dead in our sins. We are spiritually lifeless, left to ourselves. And so we need something to happen. We need God to come and to do something. And that is, of course, what happens in the gospel. God comes through the preaching of Christ, through the work of his Holy Spirit, and he begins to do something in our hearts. Sometimes it's a very dramatic experience. Sometimes it's not very dramatic, but nonetheless, it's a work of God the Holy Spirit. And that is, of course, what Jesus was referring to when he said in that famous conversation to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You need to be born from above, is what it literally means. Born of God. Born of the Holy Spirit. You see, folks, if you and I are going to grow spiritually, then we need, first of all, to have that spiritual life within us. If we as a church are to grow spiritually, then we need to have the life of God within us and moving through us. And so there's a challenge here in all sorts of directions. There's a challenge here for anyone who is here this morning or listening to this over the internet. If you are not yet truly converted, if you have not yet begun the Christian life, then this is what you need to hear. You need to come to that place where you bow the knee to Jesus and cry unto him to come by his Spirit and to give you this new life. Maybe you're listening to this and you're standing at a distance. Maybe you once made a profession and you have slipped back, whatever word you want to use. And there's a challenge here. There's not going to be any growth in your life unless you come back and ask the Lord to give you a fresh infusion of life through the work of the Holy Spirit. And for those of us who do profess to be Christians, the truth of the matter is we don't always live the way that we ought to. The truth of the matter is that we go through real dry times and times when we're struggling and we don't want to admit it to anyone else. But God knows. And we need to come back to him and say, Lord, will you just give me a fresh infusion of life? Because if I'm to grow spiritually, then there needs to be spiritual life. Apart from the Holy Spirit's work, we cannot be godly people. And we cannot be a growing church. So folks, this challenge, this word here of being born again through the living and enduring word of God, it's something that challenges us at all sorts of different levels. So spiritual growth, is there life? Is there life in your heart? Is there life in our hearts? Second thing I want you just to notice, is there love? So what we're doing this morning is we're just covering some things that will help us to grow. First one, is there life? Secondly, is there love? Verse 22, I've already read it. Now that you've purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Love one another deeply from the heart. If I was to mention the word Kinkora, it immediately makes us think of a place, an institution, where there were some pretty dreadful things happened. It's all a big secret. Maybe someday it will come out. That's only one example. And we've all been shocked in recent years about reports of children and young people being ill-treated and abused in institutions. And it is not a wonder that in most cases, this lack of love, my goodness, that's a diplomatic way of putting it, this lack of love led not only to no real wholesome development, but psychological damage in many, many situations. And that's what a lack of love does. And it is the same in the spiritual realm. If there is to be growth on the physical level, with a little child, then there needs to be love given and received. It's true spiritually, absolutely true spiritually. If there's to be spiritual growth, there needs to be love received and love given. And it's love being given that's being spoken about in this passage. As Christians, we are part of the church, the family of God. And as with any family, and I want you to listen carefully to this, folks. As with any family, so in the church family, in the Christian family, we are to love one another. And Peter says, he speaks here of a sincere love. What's he talking about there? He's talking about something that's genuine, something that's not just put on. We can all put on. We're all good at putting on. We put on a face and we We put on an impression that we can care for people when actually we don't really give a toss about them. That's true, isn't it? But Peter says, look, you have a sincere love for your brothers and your sisters. It's not something artificial. It's not something put on. And it brings us right to the heart, in many ways, of the outworking of the gospel. John chapter 13, Jesus said to his disciples, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And I could go off on a tangent about how sometimes in the church we have spectacularly forgotten about that. And it's all been really unseemly and not good. But I'll not dwell on that this morning. I'm talking generally here, by the way. Incidences, examples of how the church sometimes can be quick to go off on a different road and turn in on each other. But we're to love one another deeply from the heart, from the heart. And if you want to love somebody, and if you want to love a brother or a sister in Christ, even though they've peeved you off, you can only do it from the heart. From the head, but from the heart. It's only by God's grace in your heart that you can do that. There's a very practical thing. It's a sacrificial love. The word is agape. It's not so much about what you get, but it's about what you can give. And it requires an effort. It really does. To have a concern for other people, to pray for someone else whom you're not inclined to pray for, to speak to someone who maybe has upset you or annoyed you, to go and maybe to try and mend that little fence that has been broken down maybe for a long time. Folks, all we can do is to allow the weight of this word to come upon us. If you and I want to grow, this is the point, very simple point. If you and I want to grow spiritually, one of the things that will stop that from happening is if you have a resentment or you've taken a choice in your heart and you've said, look, I'm not going to have anything more to do with that person, even though they're your brother and sister in Christ, you're not going to grow. You really aren't. But if by God's grace you hear the weight of this and you say, you know, I need to get that sorted, it can really be a blessing, not only to you, but to the person and to your spiritual development. Is there love? There needs to be love. Here's a third one. Is there exercise? Again, let me use an example. You've heard me use this example before, and it's maybe the one that sticks in my head. You remember the awful pictures some years ago coming out from Central Eastern Europe, I think it was Romania that sticks in my head, of some of the orphanages where the little children had been left, and they had just been left sitting in their cots for very long periods, and it just literally stunted their growth. There was no exercise, there was no growth. It was awful. Or think what would it be like if you and I were just to sit around all day, every day, and never do anything? Well, we would become flabby, out of condition, and unfit. And the fact here is that in order for us to grow spiritually, there needs to be exercise. There needs to be activity. We need to be in the business of keeping fit spiritually. And the beginning of 1 Peter chapter 2 speaks of certain things that I want to just draw your attention to, that we are to be active in getting rid of in order that we will grow spiritually. Look at the beginning of chapter 2. Peter says, therefore, rid yourselves, and he mentions some things here, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. So my point is this, that if you're to grow, if we're all to grow, there are certain things that we need to actively get rid of. That we need to go out of our way to say, I'm going to, as it were, exercise this thing out of my life. Malice. What is that? Somebody once said there are two types of anger. There's the kind of the short fuse, volcanic eruption. And there's the slow burner. Malice is the slow burner. Malice is that kind of cold, calculated, hard, settled, brewing resentment against somebody. And Peter says, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Deceit. Well, deceit is the desire to mislead people or to cheat people or to fraud people. And now you're getting horrified. How dare you suggest any of us are like that? Well, we all know our own hearts. If there's anything even like that, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Hypocrisy. Well, that's an easy one. It's play acting. It's pretending to be something when in reality that's not what you are at all. It's pretending to be something on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, and on a Monday morning, you're a different kettle of fish. And Peter says, look, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's going to really pull you down spiritually. Envy. Envy is the resentment of someone either because of what they are or because of what they have. Envy is a very deceitful thing, and envy can be in any of our hearts, and we can feel envy towards someone, maybe because of something that they have or because of something that they've done, and we feel that envy rising up against them. And Peter says, look, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Slander, speaking falsely against or about someone else. Folks, let me put it very simply. If these things are in your heart or in my heart, they will stop us from growing spiritually. It's as simple as that. So the challenge is, get rid of them. Exercise them out of your heart by the grace of God. Get rid of them. And the last thing, is there nourishment? We all need to be nourished with food if we're to grow. And Peter paints an interesting little picture here in verse 2 of chapter 2. He says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Or if you're reading the Authorized Version, the sincere milk of the Word. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Where do we get the nourishment from in order to grow? We get it from the Word of God. We get it from our Bibles. Because it is not just a Bible. It's not just a book with words written in it. It is the actual inspired Word of God. It is the Word of the Lord. That's what we believe. That's why we take the Bible seriously. That's why we believe it to be our only authority for life, for belief, and for behavior. It is the inspired Word of the Lord. And we need constantly to be reminded of what this is saying. This is why we encourage people to give themselves to, on the Lord's Day, gather in this place to sing our praise, to pray, and to hear the Word of God being taught and proclaimed. Why? Because it will build you up spiritually. That is why we encourage people to come to public worship, not just on a Sunday morning, but on a Sunday evening, because they will hear the teaching of the Word of God, which will build them up spiritually. That's why we encourage people to come to the midweek. At the moment, we're going through this little series on the Old Testament patriarchs, and people are finding it helpful spiritually, building them up. And that's what it said on the tin that it would do. The Word of God will build us up. It will encourage us. It will help us to grow spiritually. And of course, we need to balance all of this with the reminder that nourishment in and of itself will only produce a couch potato. If all you do is sit and nourish yourself, well, you'll become a couch potato. You need the other things as well. All those four things. All of those four things. That's the sermon. And you say to me, okay, that's the sermon. You can stop now. I am going to stop. But that is the sermon. Some of you may remember that more easily than you remember all the words that I've said. The new birth, the life, the love, the spiritual exercise, and the nourishment of the Word of God. If somebody asks you, what was he on about today when you go home? You can remember those four pictures. Life, love, exercise, and nourishment. And I suppose my appeal this morning as I finish is this. Ulster is famous for having produced good spuds. All the potato men wake up. It has produced good potatoes. But you know, Ulster also, it seems to me, has produced its fair share of spiritual couch potatoes. People who have been so well nourished, spiritually speaking, but they haven't actually ever done anything with it. And so back to my first question. Are we fans of Jesus or followers? Are we people who come to cheer from the sidelines, Jesus, yes, you are great, but actually we fail to live it out and to really work it out Monday through Saturday? We all fail in this. I'm not accusing you of anything that I am not guilty of myself, but we all fail in this. The greatest threat to the church today is fans who call themselves Christians, but are not actually interested in following Jesus. And Eidelman, Kyle Eidelman, goes on to say this. They want to be close enough to Jesus to get all the benefits, but not so close that it requires anything from them. That's quite a challenge. It's a challenge for you. It's a challenge for me. And so I finish with this last sentence. Are you a fan? Or are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Let's all grow up. Let's bow together just for a moment of quietness and prayer. Lord, your word is always a challenge. And we pray, Lord, that as we go from this place, that we would not allow the word to just fall to the ground or be snatched away. May your Holy Spirit take this word and plant it deeply in all of our hearts, that we may grow in our salvation now that we have tasted that the Lord is good. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.